blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By a compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by a compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by a compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by a compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by a compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by a compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by a compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by a compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts, the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts, not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering. What should we look at this morning? Penny?
I was exploring this a little bit earlier this morning. I have a greater appreciation for the smallness and the hugeness of practice.
The smallness and the hugeness of practice.
Yeah. So last night, an organization I'm part of puts on a film festival in the course of the year, various places, and last night was one of the nights. And there was a movie about a particular environmental group and their efforts to save a part of the country. Okay. And the efforts pretty much at some point kind of descended into more and more violent action. Mm. And you know, it was interesting because I could totally identify with the frustration and, you know, the desire to do something, to make something happen, to make something happen. that isn't going to do it, you know? Responding to perceived violence against the planet, with violence isn't going to break the violence.
Right.
So I just was this morning it really sort of came together. I was sitting and so conditioning. I mean, the organization put this on is an environmental organization, so that. And we don't do that kind of action. And so as I was sitting, I could just feel conditioning when I say, well, what are we going to do? And I was just focusing on the breath. And, of course, conditioning would say, oh, my God, you know, talk about useless activity, you know. And I just kept focusing on the breath. And
the useless activity of, oh, what are we going to do?
No, the useless activity of focusing on the breath when there's a planet to save.
Oh, got it. I see. Okay.
As I was focusing on the breath, it was just so clear to me that if there's anything at all that would be helpful, that's where it's going to come from. Kind of quiet.
Yeah.
And along with the Musings article this month, is so totally countercultural.
Yes.
And every now and then there's an experience like that that just highlights, you know, how absolutely at right angles to the way things normally happen, practice points us.
Yes.
And from a cultural perspective, it would appear irrelevant,
right.
You know, or insipid.
Right.
And it holds so much more power.
Yes. Yeah, so I can really see what you mean in terms of that smallness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the minute little moment-by-moment
yep.
choices that we make and the bigness of that.
Yeah. And smallness in this sense that I was reflecting this morning that one night I'm sitting on the cushion, Sherry said, you know, I really don't see that what practice is about is saving the planet. Mm-hmm. And my little environmentalist went, you know, just like, what do you mean? It's not about saving the planet.
Of course it is.
and I, what I was seeing is that first of all, that's a result.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I would have been more appalled, except that it was said in this context, you know, where
right.
we save every drop of water,
exactly,
where we don't waste any energy, where everything is solar powered,
yes,
you know, where and that's what I mean about the smallness, where there's
yes.
such attention paid
yes.
to every piece of one's daily life,
yeah.
every motion we make,
yeah.
that the authenticity of that, the
yeah.
power of that is just so undeniable.
Yeah.
And it was sort of like, if that doesn't save the planet, big actions are not.
Truly, truly.
Yeah.
You know, so we just finished the year practice retreat and we were each working with a koan all week. And that is such an interesting koan, isn't it? To have the guide of a practice where, as you say, everything is so carefully down to the minute detail stewarded.
Yes.
Say, well, it's really not about saving the planet, you know. But it's not about not saving the planet.
That's right.
Right? So it's not about like, so whatever. I mean, sure, there's a drought, but I mean, we don't have to worry about water.
Right.
That everything is stewarded so beautifully and perfectly, but that's not the same as getting lost in the content of what that is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was reading this wonderful article by Wendell Berry, who's just this
yeah.
fabulous person, mm-hmm. and he was talking about, you know, people come up against a question like how to save the planet, and it's just so big, and he said, I think it's helpful to focus on living savingly in every moment.
Uh-huh.
I thought, what an interesting way to...
Yeah.
And it feels like that's what practice does. It invites us to live savingly, that
yeah.
we're saving all sentient beings
right.
all the time
yeah.
in every moment. And I don't know any way to get there without practicing to get there.
Yeah.
I don't think from outside it's possible to see that even makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah. So two quotes keep coming up for me. One is that Lynn Twist one about the, when we're in the sufficiency of,
yes.
I can't remember how that all goes.
Yeah.
I've heard you talk about it before, but that when we're just present, we're present to the sufficiency
right.
of the moment, of
right.
what is. And so we don't have a desire to use more than we need. And we can guess that if each one of us on the planet
right.
were present to that there's plenty,
of
everything, even probably water.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah. And the other one that keeps coming up is the one about, I don't know the exact wording, but all ills of whatever come from not being able to sit in a room by oneself.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
And that if truly, you know, if each of us had that skill, and it is, boy, it's challenging. It sounds so simple. I mean, sit in a room by yourself, big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But just about everything we humans do is an avoidance of that.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, and just to ask the question, what's most compassionate for all?
Yeah.
Because from what I could tell in the movie last night, the people were deeply sincere.
Right.
Deeply committed, but they
yeah.
were not asking what's most compassionate for all, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as I could reject.
Yeah.
On either side of that divide.
Yeah.
And so what you ended up with was a continuing divide.
Yeah, and it's so interesting as you describe that, because it's like at any point that gets perpetuated, or as soon as it meets presence anywhere, there's the opportunity to end it,
mm-hmm.
to end that sort of karma, if you will,
mm-hmm.
right? So there's the violence of what humans are doing to the planet. Then there's a group who feels deeply moved to address that in some way and is moved to that same process of violence,
mm-hmm.
right? Then we could observe that and come to a place of, you know, violence
mm-hmm.
in ourselves. But when you come to a place of presence and realize, oh boy, I can really see how you would get there.
That's right.
I
can feel it in myself.
I can feel it in myself and come to that place of compassion. That's where
it
the karma has ended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kevin, and then Cameron.
That's reminding me of the conversation is reminding me of this story that I heard once. There's this guy, Jarvis Masters. Mm-hmm. He's on death row for something he did when he was very young, or something he didn't do, actually. Anyway, funny stories. And he became, at some point in his incarceration, he became deeply interested in Buddhism, mm-hmm. and became like this pretty serious scholar. And so anyway, he writes stories and teaches from this perspective. He works with a lot of sort of hard cases. And, mm-hmm. But that there was this story of, that there was a TV on, and you know, one prisoner had access to the remote or whatever, and mm-hmm. other people were sort of yelling to change the channel. And so he goes to one channel, and it's, you know, some Ku Klux Klan thing going on the news or something, and people are asking, what's going on there? And so they tell him, and then he changes the channel, and then there's like C-SPAN, and there's some Senate thing going on. Mm-hmm. And he asks what's going on there, and they tell him, and he changes the channel. And it goes through all these different scenarios, all these different channels, and then at the end he sort of says, well, I learned something today. They all have the same angry faces. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's whether it's senators in a room discussing the latest health bill, or whether it's some hate group, or whether it's just the average person going about the day. It's just, it was really, I don't know, it was much more profound to read it.
Yeah, well, and
when it's crafted.
Yeah, but I project we can all go right there.
Yeah.
You know, whereas there's this idea that, I mean, the Ku Klux Klan, I mean, that's bad, right? But as Penny's pointing at, when we start to watch at a subtle level, we see that everywhere and actually realize it's generated from here.
Yeah. And then it's in that reaction to that energy that we go to that place from which that energy comes.
Yes.
Anyway, so I had this experience a few days ago of recognition that something, there was some sort of big shift I was feeling that I think has been gaining momentum over the course of weeks and maybe months. Mm-hmm. And it really feels like something significant that I was right there. I had stepped over into something really significant just mm-hmm. a week ago or a few days ago. Mm-hmm. And then what I saw is conditioning sort of do this whole redirecting of the attention to a whole different set of karmic behaviors that were totally unrelated and completely obfuscated and distracted me from any pursuit of what that shift was that I was experiencing. And just brought up all this other and my first reaction was like, oh man, I was right there, and now what has happened? And you know, and then getting sucked into all that sort of then karmic response to that of like whatever it is, you know, wanting to shut down or hide or not communicate or sort of pull away from the very perspective which I was having a taste of.
Exactly.
That felt so big.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's huge, huh?
It is big. I mean, it just came to me in sitting. You know, because at first I was going to talk about the thing itself, the sort of content of it. The behavior that came up.
Yeah.
Which I would like to do at some point.
Yeah.
In a different setting, perhaps. But I'm just seeing how big it is to recognize that sort of, you know, I heard you talk about the shell game. I don't know if it's not quite that, but it's this sort of...
Jumping tracks.
Yeah, look over here.
Yeah.
Okay, exactly. No.
Yeah. And what it highlights so perfectly is how it has nothing to do with the content, even a subtle level of content that seems like process. Do you know what I mean? So like we start to see a process that's going on, and then conditioning turns that into a content, kind of. And it's like, okay, he's seeing through that.
well, let's bring out the next one. Mm-hmm. You know, let's start talking about all this other stuff that seems totally unrelated, and but this isn't solved, and there's this to look at, and what about that about this? And but I mean, you're really making an incredibly important point, which is to step back from that and see, well, it doesn't matter which process I'm looking at or that's being revealed to me. It's the meta process of just watching the process, wherever we are in the process. Whether we're in the part of the process where, wow, you know, like you were a few days ago, really seeing it, and it sounds like having a lot of freedom from it, and or whether we're in the part of the process where it feels like it's got me by the tail and it's dragging me down, and but to be able to take that step back into, it's all just part of the bigger process.
And that's, like, I mean, that's just the key, right? That and communication, which I'm experiencing both of them right now.
But yes, yeah, the, exactly.
Because where it wants to take me in terms of emotional reaction to it is just that, that sort of non-intellectual, it's not even articulated, it's not much of a conversation, it's just this like feeling of, I really am fundamentally broken.
Yeah.
Like there really is something deeply wrong with me.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, you thought you were seeing through this other thing, but this is such a much bigger, like, I mean, this is all encompassing. This is, you know, this is, you're just basically bad.
Yeah.
Like, you can't see through one piece of conditioning and expect that that's gonna make some big difference in who you are.
Boy, that all-encompassing really says it, doesn't it? That's my experience too, is that what it has to do in that case is to try to find something that's bigger than what we've just seen through.
That's exactly what it is.
Well, yeah, at least that's big. Yeah.
Yeah, that it sort of nullifies this other thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And to me, why the, you know, you said, which I still would like to talk about that content in some context, which is why that's an important piece of what we do, is to let the human talk about it, communicate about it, whether it's in group or in guidance or especially on the recorder, mm-hmm. you know, and even that, let him have that experience, you know, let him have whatever it is that he's going through as he goes through it. So putting the recorder in the one hand, and just letting him talk uncensored about, oh, but it was so exciting. You know, I was on the edge of that. And then this came in and I feel whatever it is, you know, whatever it is, completely uncensored, trusting that when that recorder gets put in the other hand and gets listened back to, it's going to be listened to in that place of compassion and heard. And then that mentoring presence will be able to step forward and assist with, you know, so maybe, you know, in the right hand, the guy who's struggling says all kinds of stuff that, quote, comes from conditioning. Well, that's okay. That's no big, you know, it's fine. Because only conditioning would want to censor that, right? Because it doesn't want to be seen. But so if there's no censoring to the guy who's having the experience and this and that and blah, 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 and then it's listened to from that compassion, the wisdom will arise to assist the guy who's going through it. Not to collude with the content of it, but to assist him on the process level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it gives me an exciting alternative to the conditioned behaviors that it would have me do today. So I think some two-handed recording today is a great, this is a great redirection back to what the heart actually wants.
Yeah, exactly. You know, again, I often hear this come out of my mouth, but it's, you know, to the guy who was all excited about the expansion, who could blame him? You know, it goes like this, up, down, you know, all around. That just is how it goes. And to allow the human to have the reactions that he or she has to that. You know, not sort of, hey, it's fine, you know, don't feel disappointed. Feel disappointed. That's okay.
Right.
Because, of course, in that acceptance, the wisdom is going to be able to communicate, to assist to the being that's all right. that's just part of the deal. But that disappointment, or whatever it is, whatever word you would use for it, is held in a much bigger place.
Yeah, I think I've heard Sherry talk about that kind of thing. You can still have the experience without being identified with it. Like watching a great performance in a theater or something.
Yes.
You know, you're moved to tears.
Yes.
But you don't actually think it's you.
Right.
And you can still have the full emotional experience. And
yeah.
Yeah. So maybe I'll try to get there with the two-handed recording today. Great. And keep communicating.
Yeah,
thank
exactly.
You.
Cameron.
That whole thing about the person having experiences and have it be increasingly received in a larger framework of compassion. And the musings which we were considering earlier this morning, and I had a very kind of in-your-face experience of the process that's being so beautifully articulated in the musings this month about the knee-jerk reaction of conditioning to defend itself,
right,
sometimes in response to guidance.
Yes, yeah. I love the illustration that was so perfect about the closing the door carefully.
Yeah.
No, but see, I was trying to save a bug.
Yeah.
So I was actually doing the right thing.
Right thing, good thing.
That's what we do. We
and
save
I know
all human beings,
I'm
usually so good about that. So, see, it's not going to happen again. And really, I mean, really, should you have written me a note about one time? I mean, have you ever seen me do it before?
Yes, well, I watched myself become that person just before the musings came out.
Uh-huh.
And it was actually, you know, the ultimate, you know, note. It was a comment from the guide in a practice call.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she said something like, oh, I don't think I would have done that or gone that way or something. And up it came. Well, you know, I'm not sure that, you know.
Now, do you really understand
and I'm not sure I did it actually in the order that I said it, or I said some stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and as soon as it was over, you know, I saw it, you know.
Yeah.
I saw it, and I thought, and it just came up that that's it.
Yeah.
That is what has prevented this being from really grokking practice.
Yeah. Wow.
All along. And I saw who was actually doing it.
Wow.
And who was stuck.
Exactly.
Oh,
trapped.
God, the compassion for that.
Yes.
Person that has believed that she has to do everything right.
Yes.
She cannot make a mistake.
Yeah.
They won't love her, they won't take care of her.
Yeah.
They'll leave her.
Yeah.
And wow.
Boy.
Just
what a gift to get to see that.
Yeah. Home. Yeah. 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 And at first, you know, the reaction to the reaction was ego again.
Exactly.
Oh my God, that's so embarrassing. How could I have done that? You know, I should be way beyond. And it was just like, it just came right up. Just,
yeah. So that, I mean, it's very much like what we were talking about with Penny, isn't it? It's that, you know, in that case, we were talking about the violence is met with violence is met with violence is met with violence. And what you're describing is that same chain. Conditioning is met by conditioning is met by conditioning is met by conditioning.
Yeah.
But that same miraculous moment of waking up, of, whoa, whoa, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it. That's all conditioned mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's all ego I doing its thing.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, seeing the being that's trapped by that, which is the critical piece, because as you said, that's what brings up the compassion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because then what's supposed to happen there is, well, it's, why are you believing that, right? The being mm-hmm. is blamed again mm-hmm. for it. Mm-hmm. You know, you shouldn't fall for that, mm-hmm. you shouldn't da-da-da, mm-hmm. you know, but instead to see, wow, none of that is me. None of that is me. I'm not even the one who wants to defend. I get nothing from that. Mm-hmm. The mm-hmm. being doesn't get anything from that, quote, defense. Mm-hmm. In fact, gets trapped. Mm-hmm. Gets, quote, protected from practice.
Yes, yes, yes. And that went, it, as the article, the article went on, that became very clear how it's ego that gets the human
yes.
to defend its yes. position.
Yes.
And the human, like yeah. you say, gets nothing but yeah. getting to feel really bad.
Yeah. Well, and it's what you said of that place of realizing that that's the thing that's been in the way of, you could say, of each of us grokking practice.
Yeah.
Of really receiving practice, which of course, in the larger sense, isn't true either.
No.
Right? Because we wouldn't be here.
We would not still be here yeah. if that was
Low
the case.
Low as many years, yeah. just, you know, it wouldn't happen.
Right, yeah. right, right.
So on some level, the being is always being reached. But to have those greater and greater, deeper and deeper realizations yeah. of that is such a gift.
Yeah. And I could see that little girl who really, she had nobody that was in that place of compassion.
Yeah.
There was no caring about any reasons for anything or any talk to the person about what's going on. You yeah. know, yeah. this is the rule
right.
in our house. And if you do not follow the rule,
yep.
bam! You know, I mean, not literally, right. but that's not true. She didn't get beaten
but
up.
But to a but, little person, it feels like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so she took that on. Man, it wasn't worth it not to follow the rule.
Right.
It was just too painful. So she was going to yeah. be really good at following the rules.
Which is so,
and here she is at this age.
Well, because it's so tricky, right, as a little kid. Because, of course, I think Sherry was making this point recently in group, that the rules are complete. The quote rules are completely arbitrary.
Oh,
what
yeah,
the quote
they don't make
rules
any
are
sense.
Is the conditioned frame of mind that the grown-up in is yeah. at any given time. That's what the rules are.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, kids are super intuitive. I project, and you know, yeah. intelligent. So if there actually were a rule that made sense, they'd probably be able to figure it out and follow it.
Right.
But there isn't one.
There isn't.
The rule
yeah.
is, you know, I had a great day at work. So like, yeah. Yeah, great.
Yeah.
I had a bad day at work. You should know better than to want cookies, you know, blah, blah, blah. The
yeah.
exact same thing,
yeah, yeah,
right? So
yeah.
it makes us completely crazy.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to follow the rules.
Yeah,
you know?
And what are
constantly
they?
Walking on eggshells. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I saw after this kind of thing just sort of unfolded, you know, and I could see in that one instance, it's like, everywhere now, it's like the other practice that we're doing outside of this formal practice. I can just see, you know, so much of what in the conditioning that this person has. I can see in her inability to feel comfortable doing this thing.
Uh-huh.
All of the things that she learned about herself
yes.
to believe.
Yeah.
And how she's never felt that she could be a leader. She's yeah. never felt that she could have anything. Mm-hmm. She's never felt that she was never encouraged to excel. Mm. The conditioning was you know just get a job and be a regular
survive.
Normal person.
Survive.
Yeah,
get through.
Yeah, and so mm-hmm. I mean it's just like wow, there's just so much in
yeah,
you know
so
something
much.
Opens up and then.
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
It's like it blows open the possibility.
Right.
By seeing through just one piece of karma.
Yeah, and how many possibilities that this person has not had access to because of believing all of that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
how there are possibilities now for
yeah.
allowing that to
yes.
however it could develop at this point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it only develops in this moment.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it's possible in this moment.
Yeah, it's happening.
It's possible.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, it actually is happening.
Exactly.
Wow, that's really nice to see.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, because again, conditioning wants to take it into a timeline and, okay, now I could achieve, now what could I be if I
yeah,
start?
Yeah, and I'm so old now, it's too late, and I might as well, yeah. But no, I mean, that experience of possibility, that experience of compassion for the one who hasn't been able to experience the possibility.
Yeah. Even all of the leadership, all of that, it's happening in that moment.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Come up.
Loved that most recent musings article.
Yeah.
Wow. Because I hated it.
Yes, exactly.
I just got to see these layers of resistance. I read it and the first reaction was like, ugh.
Yeah. Like that fish flopping on
Gosh, yeah. Like just periodically the guy just holds up this like unflinching mirror to shift to ego. To like, here you are.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like,
well, that's such a good image. Just holding up the mirror. It's so impersonal.
Yeah.
It's not like, okay, Lakota, now let me tell you what you need to see and what's wrong with you. And no, just hold up the mirror.
Yeah.
And then ego just goes,
oh, you hate it. And, and the heart is like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm totally on board with this.
Yeah.
And, there was this one paragraph in that article that was huge. I read it and put it up on the wall. I'm so excited to practice with it daily. I can't remember exactly how it went, but it was kind of, you know, it's highlighting the ego experience, anxiety, fear, withdrawal, all those kinds of things. And then, you know, what else is possible with this change of behavior and kind of doing the opposite of then what?
Yeah.
When ego withdraws, then forging connections, and when, you know, this and that. And, you know, it was really exciting. The heart was like,
yeah.
You know, of course, that's why I'm here. That's why I keep showing up.
Yeah.
And why I keep turning to this practice. Because I don't want that narrow, constricted, defended experience of life. I want to participate fully with this openness and equanimity and I love that description too, because it wasn't like over the top, like exuberant, sparkling joy or anything.
Right,
just like trusting, open, adequate. Basically okay, and I get it on this really deep level that's actually really what I want. That's really all I want. I don't need this like over the top sparkly experience. It's nice.
Yeah.
But what I really want is just to be okay,
feel
okay,
and
to be able to be okay and feel okay around other people, with others in my life, without having to kind of trim the margins of my life so that I can, you know, navigate it in this constricted way.
That's a good image.
Without being discovered.
Without being discovered, which I would project, AKA, without ruffling ego's feathers it kicking up a fuss.
So, I mean, on that level, it's like, that's what the heart wants.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here to practice. And there is just a huge yes.
Yeah.
And so much of the time, it's like I get a note and it's like, right on.
Yep.
You know, great. Got to see that one.
Yep.
Yes. And that happens a lot. And then sometimes it's like, it's like, well, but that kind of note.
Yeah.
Nah.
See, you know? The saving the bug. See, that's the only reason that happens.
Oh, man, that was great. I get to see that everywhere in my life. I project, we all do that a lot, but I that addiction to explaining and justifying so that I always only look perfect. Like, you know, but don't you understand? Like, I'm a really good guy, and I was like, gosh, and I've seen that in my life too, where I've actually done that with people, tried to offer these explanations, and then projecting like, wow, that is so totally not what they want to hear. Mm. You know, it's so not helpful.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't feel good to me.
Right.
Because I'm in this kind of defensive backpedaling place.
Yeah.
And it's not even what they want. It's not even helpful.
Yeah, because it's not about you in the first place.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just defending the ego.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And very often, I mean, I don't know exactly what kind of scenario you're talking about, but when, you know, another person brings up something like that, essentially what they're communicating to us is something that's going on with them. And the possibility there is to, I mean, they might not even realize it, but the possibility there is to facilitate that experience. It actually doesn't have anything to do with me. So for me to go into a defensive I is just bringing it back to me when that's not what was going on in the first place.
That's so good. Yeah. Yeah, the example that came to mind when I was talking about it was, projecting that someone wants me to do such and such, mm-hmm. but I don't want to.
Right.
And then like going into this place of explaining.
Right.
When really they don't want to hear that. That I could just simply say, oh, I don't want to.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't blame you one bit for wanting that, or gosh, I wish I could, or I don't, you know, again, it would depend on the particular circumstance,
right.
But for me in my life, I've noticed it's such a powerful tool to just be able to be with someone,
exactly.
And I can completely go to how they would want me to want to do that.
Totally,
just,
yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't, so where do we go from here? Because we all always want the same thing,
yeah.
Which is to be unconditionally loved and accepted. That's completely possible,
yeah.
In every scenario. Now, we all get hooked into a particular content, and so it feels like it's what I want versus what you want, but that's always an illusion. Mm-hmm. There's always a way we can both be unconditionally loved and accepted.
That's so great, yeah. And getting to that place of what's most compassionate for all, mm-hmm. and being available to hearing the other person's experience,
exactly.
Which, yeah, in my experience, is really all they really want.
Yes,
they don't
exactly.
even necessarily want what they
thought they wanted. Exactly.
It's just to be heard
yeah.
and to be understood. I'm able to get there only when I drop that identity that
exactly.
is so addicted to being right.
Exactly.
And, you know, perfect.
Exactly.
So it's great to be able to play with that. And I just love that there's such a great structure for practicing with all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In the not that, then what?
Yeah.
It's like, well, even before not that, there's just recognizing, what is this?
Right.
You know, because sometimes it's so under the radar, I don't want to see it. But like,
yeah.
What is this? This is some jealousy going on.
Uh-huh.
And then like,
yeah.
Oh, not that. You know,
yeah.
Because the story behind that is that it's going to get me somehow the experience I want.
Mm-hmm.
I actually saw in some like name brand, like yoga pants, shopping bag, had all these quotes on it. And one of them was great. It said, jealousy gets you the opposite, works the opposite of the way you think it should. Great.
Yeah.
And so getting to see that, so like, what is this? Oh, jealousy. And then seeing like, oh, it doesn't work
right.
the way that I want to.
Right.
What do I really want? You know. So
yeah.
then what?
Yes.
What else is available? And then practicing the doing the opposite, or even if the opposite is not available,
uh-huh.
at least kind of inching that direction.
Yeah.
Yes,
exactly. Yeah. Because in that, you're recognizing what the heart actually wants instead of identifying with what conditioning says you're going to get from that process of jealousy. It's seeing through, well, it's never going to lead there. It's leading in the opposite direction.
Yeah. And then lastly, real quick, I just saw, the Musings article was so great because it really brought out conditioning in its true colors.
Yeah.
Because underneath all that, so I see like, okay, great. I've got this great, really clear process
mm-hmm.
for a way to do something different.
Yeah.
Recalibrate to heart process and to life and to connection.
Yep.
Real connection.
Yep.
Which is what I want. And there's still resistance.
Uh-huh.
And there's still like this wanting to
yeah.
nurse resentment or anger. Like,
yeah.
oh, you know.
That's
so
clear.
Obvious.
Yeah.
So obvious what that is. And it's like, it's
yeah.
so obvious that I don't want that.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. And you're right. It's that in that, there's such a concrete way to that's offered to us to practice with that. Of, you know, okay, so there's resentment, you know, meet that with compassion, you know. So the exact opposite of what's going on,
yeah.
we can practice the opposite process of that.
Yeah.
And that's such a concrete way to go at those conditioned reactions. And as you say, it's not, there's no requirement to feel, you know, exuberant and sparkly as we do that. It's just a practice of practicing the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, we all know from our experience, what we get from that is an intense sense of freedom and well-being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good stuff. I'm looking forward to practicing this.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Rebecca, did I see your hand?
Yeah. I'm seeing a linchpin that holds this process in place that, you know, we're all kind of looking at, for me anyway, is comparison.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, really, without that, there's just...
Yeah. Because, yeah, how would this image of how I'm supposed to be, that needs to be defended, even exist if I weren't comparing it to, if conditioning weren't comparing to create that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the God's truth. I mean, if we lost suddenly, magically, lost our ability to compare, literally all of that would fall away.
Yeah.
Because it's all comparing me to a moment before, or some imaginary moment in the future, or me to someone else, or me to what I want, or me to...
Yeah. And it's, and the insidious part, well, there's every part of that is insidious, but one of them is how sometimes in comparing I come out on top, and sometimes in comparing I come out on bottom.
Yeah.
And both are inevitable in that. It's making a deal with the devil, you know? If I'm going to compare to somebody who's, say, miserable, and how much happier I am than them, I've just paid my, you know, I've just anteed up into the game of you're about to be on bottom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And going back to what we were looking at with, I think it was Cameron, that to get it, that both of those are I ends up on top, I ends up on bottom, human always ends up on the losing end of that proposition.
Yeah, that's. I was seeing that too in what was said about the sort of the business workshop that some of us are doing. That in that process, what it, the human naturally defaults to sympathetic joy when someone you know that's the natural human true nature response. But what comparison does is it hijacks that and takes it into jealousy or envy or resentment or you know I just can't be happy for a person or you know and that means something about me and my energy then is all over the place because I'm either up because they're down or they're down because they're up and you know it's like it's just a train wreck.
Yeah.
You know, when what the human gets robbed of is sympathetic joy.
Yeah.
Or equanimity.
Yeah. That's really good. So if I'm following what you're saying, that what you're watching on, it sounds like a really subtle level, is that so something happens that creates a reaction of sympathetic joy, like, oh, wow. You know, because it's not even, you know, if there is no self and other, right, if it's just all life living, then this thing happens and there's just that, whoa, you know? It isn't even, in a way, I would guess, at the very outset, I'm happy for you.
Yeah, it's not, yeah, that may be how it gets expressed, but that's not fundamentally what the experience is.
It's just a, And what it sounds like you're describing is that experience gets then picked up. I mean, it's not, you know, this is just kind of the slow motion depiction of it, right? But it gets picked up and put out there with the person who did that thing, gets projected out there and jealous of that. Mm-hmm. I no longer have that, they have that.
Yeah. And that whole process is the construction of an illusion of the separate self.
Exactly.
It's the construct of the ego identity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And again, it's that place of, you know, kind of turning to the human and like, well, no wonder you feel that way. If that's what's being done to you, you know, if you're living in a world where that's, you're constantly being talked to about, well, look at them, look what they have, you don't have that, you know, no wonder she ends up feeling jealous and less than and, you know, with, as you say, just enough peppered in of the you're better than to keep the whole thing rolling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what's arising now to say is how communication facilitates the process of moving back to the true nature place. The human gets to talk, number one, and you know, in the recorder or wherever, the the space is opened for the wisdom, for that sort of a who can blame you kind of message to come in. And the, for lack of a better word, the truth of the situation can be seen.
Yeah.
It's sort of like what conditioning does is closes the fist tight, and what communication does is opens it up to where this sort of channel of wisdom or truth or whatever can flow. And then, you know, the identity will close it back, and then, you know, and we just sort of do that process of clenching and opening, of tight fist, of open hands, until, and I you know, in my experience anyway, that is how communication is learned. You know, until we can live in that open hand, it just, this process sort of has to happen. Then I guess that's why we call it a practice. But it, but it's certainly a, and what's here is to say it's certainly a painful enough process when it clenches tight that it does facilitate the motivation or the whatever to want to keep.
That's what I was kind of looking at too, is that when we over time cultivate the skill or the recognition that that's all happening in awareness, then we really begin to be able to make a choice. Right? At first, there kind of isn't a choice. We're just, I mean, I think it was you who was talking just a minute ago about that kind of being dragged around by it, you know, just that, that train wreck that you were talking about, just swung from this side to that side to this side. And really, it feels like, whoa, it's just, that's just being done to us. But when we begin to bring awareness to that whole thing and the, to the painfulness of the process of the closing down, we no longer want to choose that. And so we become less likely to identify with what Lakota was just talking about, of that reaction of ego to all of it.
Yeah.
You know, when we see that that's ego, and I don't want that.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in that place.
Yeah, which is the how of how we fought, how we stopped doing the comparison process.
Yes, exactly. And you know, the other thing I was seeing when you were talking is how I would guess a huge piece of why communication is so key is that it's participation. And that as we participate, we're putting ourselves back where we started, in a sense. You know, you said it's that, it feels like the natural human reaction, that sympathetic joy. And that the way that ego pulls us out of that is to get us off by ourselves, not communicating. Communicating puts us back in the participation where we realize, oh, right, you know, we're back in touch with what is.
Yeah, in a way that is the equanimity.
Yeah.
What is the other two? Sympathetic joy, equanimity, and there are two more. I'm wondering if it ties in with communication. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I can't remember how they're phrased either.
Anyway,
yeah.
It's kind of interesting. I bet you they do.
Yeah.
because they're, because that is the that is just another way of looking at that, that bedrock of true nature that we're always coming back to.
Yeah. Thank you. Mickey.
I've really been looking a lot lately at the whole thing about training and structure, and so really appreciated the musings in that light.
Yeah.
And one of the things that ego got on me lately about was, well, you don't, you're not really doing anything practice now where you're likely to get a note. So you're not, you know, you're not going to be able really to up your practice if you're not putting yourself in the way to get notes. And so what I liked about the musings is that everything can be a note. That I don't need, you know, I mean, although it's helpful to have that from time to time so you can see something you didn't see. But if it's looking at what I react to in order to see it conditioning at work, I don't need an actual note for that.
Yeah, it's happening all the time.
That's right. There's plenty of opportunities for that.
Well, and we can, you know, if we want to, then we can really take it on as an active thing.
That's right, exactly.
So life comes along and says, hey, you want this opportunity? And ego goes, no, I really don't, thank you.
That's right.
I don't like that. I don't want to do that. That's not who I am. I can't do that. And we go, oh, there's one. There's one.
That's right. Yeah, so, you know, so, but I really realize also how setting up my own structures around making sure that those are practice opportunities, you know, because if it's not an explicit practice situation, mm-hmm. it can be easy to get caught in one of those and not see it as an opportunity, you know. So setting up my own note system or whatever, you know, uh-huh. setting up the things that support uh-huh. remembering how I want to practice with those uh-huh. things. Uh-huh. I had this thing just connected to me on the way down here. I saw this plant that I swear I've never seen before, mm-hmm. and it's like this purple cluster on this dark red stem, but it's like a winding, stem gets really long and winds around things.
Yeah.
And
it is amazing.
And so
around everything.
Yeah, and so what I was looking at is some of the ones I saw on the way down here were wound around other branches.
Yeah.
And then there were a few where if there wasn't anything around, it just turned around and wound around itself. And I thought, well, that's really it. So there's practice structures uh-huh. that I can wind around to support me.
Right.
And then there are other times where I need to be the one who is the one who's going to support me in doing what I need to do. So,
So we turn to the mentor.
Right.
We record and listen.
Right, And we remember to do that. We set up reminders.
Right.
We wear rubber bands, so that when I'm in that grip of that really real thing, I don't forget what it is I want to practice with in that moment.
Yes, exactly. And the wisdom to know that we must seek out opportunities where, quote, practice, you know, someone else, quote, someone else at practice in the form of whatever is offering us those opportunities.
Right.
Because it's very tricky to, you know, challenge our own ego, if you will.
Right.
Yeah.
And this just came up when somebody else was talking earlier, and we were talking about what happens to kids and about rules. And mm-hmm. And it was just it was something that I had the privilege to see that was such a great example of what else could be possible. And I was, I happened to be visiting the second grade class at the Waldorf School, and one of the things they did was they wrote these little stories. They were studying, I forget what, but they each would write these little stories in their book, and you know, they're like a paragraph long.
Right.
And then, so I was looking through them, and it was clear that their spelling had been corrected in places, but I overheard the teachers telling another teacher that she says, yeah, they write their stories and then I go through and I show them what the adult spelling is.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what a nice way, you know, it's not you're wrong, it's not you spelled it wrong, but this is the adult spelling, and I think that might be helpful as you go along in life.
Yeah.
I just thought, what a neat model.
There's the uniform way that we've kind of agreed on.
That's right, yeah. So it doesn't have anything to do with you.
Yeah.
And I just thought, what a great example of how we could compassionately work with young kids too.
It's not wrong.
It's not wrong.
Here's how, you know, society's chosen to do it.
Yeah, that's why I love in the Musings article with the question, what would love do? Because it takes it out of what would I do.
It's
totally impersonal.
Yeah.
If I turn to that, then I don't have to have anything going on with it.
Yeah. That's
really
good.
Excuse me.
Scott?
I was saying earlier about when you were saying we can kind of facilitate. I heard you say both other people. Mm-hmm. I could totally see how you want me to do that. And how we could do that with ourselves.
Absolutely.
And it fit right into, I was talking with somebody recently about, you know, they've kind of this thinking around, well, I'm just supposed to forget that there's any problems or concerns.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sort of talking about, well, you know, the first job is to have the conversation and come here.
Mm-hmm.
And then all that stuff can just be pulled into here.
Yeah.
And then the person was like, I don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought both of those examples were really good, concrete, like structural things that you can do. And it was helpful because I've been pulled into a conversation a fair amount recently. The content is just looking at my stay at the monastery, and my parents are asking me when I'm coming home.
Right.
And, you know, I
love that. Yeah. That phrase, that no matter how old we get, when are you coming home? I heard a friend of my mom's relaying how her adult daughter, who lives on the West Coast, they live on the East Coast, and he asked again, so when are you coming home? She finally said, Dad, I am home.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and so the conversations, of course, have really been with, not my parents, but...
Right.
Which
is so huge, God.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Just to take that in.
Yeah, it
is. Yes, there is probably a conversation that is happening and needs to happen with your parents, but that the actual conversation needs to be with this person.
Yeah.
And it's very likely going to facilitate that other one much more skillfully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's funny because even internally doing it with them in the way that you were talking about.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, yeah. So just to both of them, like, of course you want me to come. Like, if I was my parent,
yes.
I would want me to come home.
Yes.
He's this great guy. He's an important part of the family.
Exactly.
I'd like to have him close.
Exactly.
You know, like, invite him to all the events.
Yes.
Yeah, like, totally, like...
Yeah. And if I had two bodies, and then, you know, I would come home regularly and have tea with you, and absolutely.
And it's fun, because that ends the conversation.
Yeah.
Because the other way was it saying, you know, basically some variation of, after all they've done for you. That kind of like, man, I mean, they're getting older, and I mean, this year's gone, basically, you're not going to, you know, that kind of, and so there's a little person receiving that going, oh my gosh, no.
And then it's going to flip at some point, and then the teenager's going to go, they just don't get it. They don't respect what I'm doing. You know, I mean, it just opens the door for all the duality to come flooding in.
Totally. There's this somebody who's like, well, here's how I'll do it. I'll get them to understand my experiences a little bit and relate it to an experience that they've had, and then they'll really see how important this is, and then they'll say, oh, we want you to stay.
Right.
You know? It's like, no, because the underlying message is still, you're bad. You know, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
And just to, what keeps coming up for me is, thy will be done. You know, that life is just occurring, and the best thing I can do is show up for me and for my parents in that kind of, just that compassion, just bringing it all into compassion.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm really in charge whether I'm going to stay here or leave here.
Truly not.
You know?
Which is such an odd thing to say, right? Yeah. A lot of people would, well, what do you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, no one's making you stay here.
Yeah.
I mean, you can just freely choose.
Yeah, and I won't have that conversation with them either, you know.
Oh.
but I can have the relating to them and bringing what they're feeling into compassion and having us both sit there in that place of compassion and just see what comes out.
Yeah.
You know, that this is happening, so all we can really do is just hold hands and be together.
Exactly. Oh, there's so much in what you're saying, and it's just such a subtle and beautiful place to practice. And just really being attuned to kind of what's appropriate in the actual conversation with the parents, and what really is the conversation with the person, with the being, to have, you know? And that place of, you know, it can seem like, no, but you guys, if you could just see, because what I'm really trying, you know, to kind of explain that, that's not a conversation you need to have with them.
Yeah. It's really freeing. You just, like, got taken off the hook.
Yeah.
Both with them and both internally.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's great what he's doing.
Yeah.
It's not like he wins or loses. Like,
yeah.
And everybody can be a part of the love,
yeah.
Whether they're physically here or not. You know? So I don't know. It's just a relief and to practice taking him off the hook, coming into that circle of compassion,
exactly.
Bringing any concerns that are real concerns into that place of compassion.
Yeah, and that incredible place of not knowing that you're pointing at.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'll continue my monastic stay or whether I'll, you know, go back to be near my parents or, and what's best for all.
Yeah,
in that much bigger picture.
That's the ultimate letting off the hook.
Yeah.
I'm not in charge anyway.
Not,
and I don't want to be.
And I don't want to be.
You know, truly.
Yeah. And what a teaching, you know, that is. Just being that.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, I want to say modeling that. That almost brings in too much of an I modeling that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But just being that.
Just being that.
Just, you know, not trying to teach anyone anything. But just being that and letting that be there for whatever else in life might pick that up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that is that faith, just yeah. to say yes and allow whatever, you know, yeah. trusting that that goodness just comes out of that, however,
yeah.
however it may be. It might not be my parents react in the way that I want them to.
Exactly.
And that's okay.
And then you get to practice with that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It's a big place. Thank you all.